God's word for this morning. It's just that gain's a bit too high, mate. Turn the, or something. Maybe mute the other mics. Okay. There we go. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning. And God, we thank you for the word that you have to speak to our hearts. God, we thank you for your desire for a people that will worship you. God, we thank you for your heart for a people that will know you intimately and will glorify your name. And God, we thank you for the privilege that it is to be called to be a part of that people that you know by name, that you have called to be your own, and you have declared that you will be our God. And Father, this morning we want to give you glory, and we want to give you honor, and we want to give you praise and declare that you are our God and we are your people, and we worship you, and everything that we do is for your glory and for your honor. Lord, our heart's desire is that you would be glorified, that the name of Jesus would be lifted up, and that your spirit would come and move and transform our cities and change our nations, and Lord, restore and bring healing and wholeness the way that you intended. And God, that's your heart, and we want that to be our heart as well. God, we want to know you to that degree where we love the things that you love and we hate the things that you hate. And God, that's our desire this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit, right now in this place, that you would come and you would bring revelation and understanding to us as we seek you, as we seek to know you in your word, Father, this morning. God, we pray that what you have for us today is a word for today. And Lord, help us to receive it and to hear it, and to understand what you're wanting to do, and Lord, to have the boldness and the courage to respond, and Lord, to be doers of the word. Father, help me this morning to speak. God, give me your words, Lord, that these words are not mine, but they're yours, for your glory. Jesus, for you, all glory and honor and praise be yours, we pray this morning in his precious name. Amen. Amen. All right. Things are a little bit different this morning. I'm preaching a little bit differently. You might have known I haven't got the lectern and the pulpit. God's just been doing some things, I guess, in me and stirring some things in me. And I had another message prepared for this morning, and God just laid some stuff on my heart over the last few days, and I couldn't ignore it, so I thought I'd better share that. So I want to share with you, as I said before, a little bit some stuff from the book of Exodus. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, I don't have a PowerPoint prepared this morning, so you'll need a Bible or a Bible app or something that you can follow along, or you just have to listen real close. All right? You guys haven't got your little notepad things this morning. Chris is dropping the ball. I don't know. You guys are going to have a word to him about that. Or is that Pearly dropping the ball? Where's
your Bible?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Where's your Bibles, guys? There we go. There's. Okay. So we're going to read a couple of passages. Exodus chapter 19 we're going to look at, and in 33 we're going to also look at. So if you stick a couple of fingers in there. But I've really been just waiting on the Lord and seeking God. When last week, as I was preparing for the message that I never got to share with you, God was really just impressing on my heart the need to really press into seeking Him for the things that He's wanting to do, and I don't know. I had just had this burden just to draw near to God, and that's a little bit of what I want to share with you as well this morning, but perhaps in a bit of a different way. But this sense of being switched on, I'm not sure where I was going with that, but just being connected to God and knowing Him, so I've been contemplating and thinking about, you know, what it's like whenever there seems like there's a breakthrough in your spiritual life. And like we've been talking about this morning, and like we shared just a little bit before, it's kind of almost a little bit like, okay, God, what's next? Like, how do we know what we're supposed to do from here? Are we supposed to just kind of keep doing the same things and hoping that we get the same results, or is there a different way? And for me, there's often lessons and things that God brings to my mind through the people of Israel, and particularly through that time of wilderness and all that kind of stuff. And so there's one particular verse in chapter 6 of the book of Exodus. Just, you don't need to turn there, but just this is where God is. He meets Moses in that place, and Moses has kind of finally decided to obey, and he comes, and God is giving this promise of deliverance to the people of Israel. Moses is there talking to the elders and saying, God's going to deliver you. And there's this bit where he says, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land that I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. But there's this, we see something in there of the heart of God, that God was drawing to himself a people. He wasn't content to just kind of sit up in heaven with his perfection and with the angels. He actually wanted a people who would know him and would love him, and that they would say, we're God's people and he's our God. And God would declare that over them, that God would declare that they were his children. And that's so much a part of what we talk about in church as Christians today, don't we? We talk about that idea of God as our Father, we're part of God's family, that we're part of his people. And we see that heart of God. And this was when God came to rescue, and he declared, okay, now's the time. I've heard the cries of my people. I'm going to rescue them and deliver them out of slavery. And then they're going to know how awesome I am. All right? It sounds a little bit conceited when we say it, but when God says it, it's 100% like just being honest, isn't it? It's factual. It's accurate. Okay, so it's not boastful or whatever when God says it. He says, they're going to know how awesome I am, and they're going to worship me, and they're going to want to be my people. And this is part of what God has called us for, is to have that kind of intimacy and relationship with him, where we know him as our God, where we know him as our Father. I was contemplating and looking at, thinking through this story, and there's a couple of things, and I shared a couple of little bits of this with the Immovables group on Friday night when they put me on the spot and said, share something with us, Pastor. And so I've shared a couple of things. So if I repeat things that I said, you guys will have to just listen again because you need to hear it. So we know the story. Like, we've seen the movies, right? You know, Ten Commandments, Prince of Egypt, or whatever you thought of those. We know, we're familiar with the story of how God, you know, brought the plagues on Egypt and delivered Israel with all the plunder of Egypt, and miracle after miracle after miracle, and, you know, amazing things that God did in order to rescue and set free his people. Okay, anybody never heard that story? Excellent. We're on the same page. So what we have then is we have Israel coming out of Egypt, and then we know Pharaoh changes his mind and says, I can't let all these slaves go, or who will do the legwork around here? And so he chases after them. And then we have like the whole Red Sea thing, right? And God just parts the waters. Israel crosses over just in case they needed any more confirmation that God was with them, just in case they needed any more confirmation that God was powerful and was mighty, more mighty than the entire Egyptian army. He parts the waters, they cross over on dry land through the middle of the sea, and then destroys the Egyptian army with the water crashing down. Yep, we know that one? Awesome. So then they come into the desert, and God leads them to the mountain where he says they're going to come and they're going to offer sacrifices and they're going to worship me. And he says, I've brought you out of slavery. I've demonstrated my power to you. I've shown you how much I care about you and how much I love you and how much I want to make you into my people who know me and are part of my family. And he says, you're going to come here and you're going to worship me. And in Exodus 19, the Lord's talking to Moses, and he begins to explain what's going to happen. In verse 10, he says, the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. So he says, get them ready. He says, get them in an attitude where they're ready to meet with God, where they're purifying themselves, where they're making themselves in a position where I'm what they're thinking about. And then he goes on at the second half of verse 13, and he says, you know, he's explaining they can't go up on the mountain until they're told. But he says, second half of verse 13, when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, may they go up to the mountain. Okay? So God says they need to prepare themselves, they need to get ready, but they need to stay back until I give the signal. And when I give the signal, they're going to come up and they're going to worship me on the mountain. Sounds good, doesn't it? So this is what I rescued them for. This is why I'm making them my people, because they're going to worship me. They're going to know me. They're going to hear my voice. They're going to know my presence, and they're going to be changed forever. Okay, he goes on. He says, put limits on the people and tell them not to go up in the mountain, all the rest of it. This bit's really interesting. Verse 20. Okay, so Moses goes up on the mountain first. The cloud of God, the glory of God and his presence comes down the mountain, and the entire nation sees it. And so Moses goes up. Well, God tells him, says, come up. And there's this smoke going, and there's trumpets going, and the voice of God is answering to Moses. And it says, the Lord came down and called Moses to the top of the mountain. This is in verse 20. So Moses went up, verse 21, and the Lord said to him, go down and warn the people so they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Because he'd said that if they disobeyed and went up when they were not supposed to go up into the presence of God, that the Holy One, when they were unpurified, that they would die. Like sin and cannot exist in the presence of God's holiness. All right, so if they're still in sin, then they cannot survive in the presence of God's holiness and his might. But I love this, how God, there's like this assumption that people are going to be so excited to get up onto that mountain and to come into the presence of God that they're going to have trouble holding back. And I think that is kind of a natural assumption, isn't it? I mean, God knows how awesome he is. God knows how much we need his presence. God knows how powerful and exciting and life-changing, how much joy there is, how much peace there is in his presence. He knows that he is everything we need, and he says, it's almost like God can't understand why people would be reluctant to hold back from coming into his presence. He's like, Moses, you better go and make sure that they don't like rush ahead and come up in their excitement. And God, chapter 20, God begins to speak to Moses and outline his moral law and how he's going to create this society that is set apart from the rest of the nations. It's one of the meanings of the word holy. Did you know that? Holy means set apart for a special purpose. That's why we say we lift up holy hands. We say we're a holy people, because God has chosen us and he's called us and he's set us apart for his purposes. And so God is giving this instructions to Moses, saying, here's the things that are going to set you apart. Here's the things that are going to make you a people that bring delight and joy to my heart and are my representatives, that bring some of who I am and represent me to the rest of the world. These are the things that if you abide by these things, that it's going to bring light and it's going to demonstrate what life is supposed to be like to the nations around you. But in verse 18, Exodus 20 verse 18, it says, when the people saw the thunder and the lightning and they heard the trumpet and they saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Is that what God had said would happen? It's not, is it? Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. He's saying God is doing all this dramatic stuff on the mountaintop. You're seeing, you know, thunder and lightning and smoke and, you know, booming of weird noises and things so that you'll know that God is real and that you'll know that God is powerful and you'll see him in his glory. But verse 21, It says, the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Do you know, each and every one of us have a choice about whether we will enter into the presence of God or not. We have a choice, just like the people of Israel had a choice. The way was made clear. They were given the signal. Like it says they heard the trumpet. And it was like, okay, guys, now's the time. Come on, let's go. Let's enter into the presence of God. And they said, no. That's a bit too scary for us. We don't know what's going to be involved. We don't know what's in store for us if we do that. God's holy and God's powerful and God's mighty, and we're just not sure. I really felt this morning that this is one of the big things that we need to grasp as a people. We need to grasp that we have this choice about whether we enter into the presence of God or not. We've been washed. We've been purified. We've been made clean by the blood of Jesus. All our sins are washed away, and we have an open door for us to come and to enter in and to kneel and to prostrate ourselves before God and into the very throne room of God. Hebrews says we now can boldly approach the throne. And yet there are so many of us that are hanging back and going, this is unfamiliar territory. I'm not sure what it's going to mean for me. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm not sure if I'm ready for that. Or maybe there are other things, other reasons, other things that we're not ready to let go of and we're not ready to surrender. You know, just like Israel had to purify themselves and spend that first 2 days putting aside other things. Sometimes there are things in our life that we're still holding on to. And there needs to be that time where we surrender and we lay stuff down. To be like Moses. It says he approached the thick darkness where God was. Isn't that an interesting picture? Okay, turn over to Exodus 33. So we know what happened. Moses was up on the mountaintop and all the people were waiting down, and he was up there for quite a bit of time. And the people start getting restless. And they're like, is Moses coming down? Like, he didn't say he was going to be gone this long. Maybe something's happened to him. Maybe he upset God and God smote him. You know, struck him down with one of those lightning bolts or something. It's like, what's going on? We don't know what's going on. And they're sitting back. And this is one of the things that happens when we shrink back from entering into the presence of God. What happens? We slip back into our old ways. We slip back into doing things the way that our mind says is logical. And for Israel, that's slipping back into idolatry that they've grown up with, that they've seen around them. And, you know, they get all their gold together and they fashion it into this golden idol, this golden calf. After all of the things that they've seen, after all of the ways that God has demonstrated his supremacy over all of the gods of Egypt, when we shrink back from entering into the presence of God, we slip back into human ways of thinking. We slip back into our old ways of thinking at the first hurdle, at the first obstacle. And so God is rightfully and justifiably pretty annoyed with the people of Israel, isn't he? He says, first, you won't come up into my presence and worship me. And now, even worse than that, you're going back to idolatry again. Not only have you refused to draw near, you've gone and, you know, shacked up with some other woman. So, chapter 33. The Lord said to Moses. This is after Moses has a big go at the people, and he, you know, there's all kinds of things that happen over those few chapters, and you can read that later, but we kind of get to that. God deals with it, Moses deals with it, and they kind of repent and they get punished and stuff. And in chapter 33, that's kind of dealt with and like they're moving on now. And it says, the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. It's pretty harsh words, isn't it? But think about what God is actually saying here. He's saying, guys, go ahead. Go into the promised land. I'm going to give you all the blessings that I promised to give you. I'm going to send an angel before you to drive out all your enemies. You will have every success that I've promised you. Now, how many of us today, how many Christians around the place, if God said, I'm going to give you all the blessings and I'm going to give you all the success, I'm just not going to be with you, would say, okay, that's enough. I hope not. I hope not. But gee. It says, when the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn. And no one put on any ornaments, for the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites you are a stiff-necked people, and if I were to go with you for even a moment, I might destroy you. Whew, that'll put the fear of God into you. Now take off your ornaments and I'll decide what to do with you. And we hear the heart of Moses a little further on in verse 33. And Moses is pleading with God. And he's having this conversation with God. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you haven't let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name and have found favor with me. You have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Right here, this is Moses' desire. This is his heart. Moses doesn't say, continue to show us awesome miracles. He doesn't say, continue to provide for us everything that we need. He says, show us your ways. He says, the thing that we need above all, more than anything else, is to know you, to know your ways, to know the things that you love and the things that you hate, to know what makes you angry, what makes you weep, what makes you rejoice. God, we want to know you. This is what we're created for, is to know him. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. So God says, okay, Moses, I can cope with you. I'll go with you. And what does Moses say in reply? He says, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. He says, if your presence is not with us, we don't want to go into the promised land. And this is the attitude that God's been just impressing on my heart, that as a church, we need to have this attitude that says, look, it doesn't matter if we never grow. It doesn't matter whether we always struggle financially. You know, all the blessings in the world, all the growth, all the success, doesn't matter one scrap if we don't know the presence of God. And just like Israel, as they wandered through the desert, you know, that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night that led them, that showed them where to go. And there was times when it would stop and there would be rest and he would say, stay here. And there'd be times when it would get up and it would start moving and they'd pack everything up, you know, into their wagons or backpacks or whatever it was as they wandered around. And they go, okay, God's moving, so we need to move. And that's exactly the kind of attitude that I want to have. And I want us as a church to have, is it says, okay, you know, we see that God's moving over here, so let's move over here with him. It says, okay, God's stopped here and he's telling us to stay here and he's telling us to linger here and to wait here. So let's stay and let's linger. Let's not be running ahead of God. Let's not be thinking that we know how he's going to fulfill his promise or to do this or to do that. If God says stop and wait, then we stop and wait. Moses says to God, if your presence does not go with us, what else will distinguish your people from every other people on the face of the earth? What makes us different? It's only the Spirit of God within us. Jesus echoed these words when he said, you know, people will know that you're my disciples because of the way that you love. What did he say? Love one another as I have loved you. When we know God. God is love. When we know him, when we have him within us demonstrating and showing and revealing his love and we're acting that out and God's moving and flowing through us as we love each other and as we love our community, then the people see something of the Spirit of God within us and we're separated. We're set apart. We're a holy people. We're meant to be distinguishable from everybody else, aren't we? If people look at us and go, oh, well, they're just, you know, another nice club that do good things occasionally, we've missed the boat. We've missed this that says, you know, unless the Spirit of God is with us, unless we know that presence of God, unless we're being led by it, then we just look like everybody else. And the Lord says to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. And God would say to you this morning, he knows you by name. Word of God says he formed you in the womb. He counted your days. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows your heart, knows your desires, knows you intimately. He wants you to know him as well. He says, I will do what you've asked. God has poured out his Spirit. God has poured out his Spirit. In order that no longer would we be the people who stand back at a distance. He's given us a second chance. He's given us a fresh opportunity. He's given us that ability to come and enter into his presence, to be restored, to be made whole. But we have a choice. We have a choice. Kerry's going to come up and lead us in going to sing an item with Hannah. A song that they've been working on. And just as they're beginning to play and beginning to just sing, I want us to respond to God this morning. If God's been challenging you about that, if God's been saying, hey, I believe, you know, and you know, there's a sense in which God's speaking to every one of us here this morning. I believe that. I know he's speaking to me about, you know, doing things my way, needing to know what's going to happen before it happens and things like that. And maybe there's some things that God's been challenging you, asking you to surrender, to lay down. Because there's probably always things, isn't there? Always things in our life. Let's just close our eyes. Let's just, in an attitude of prayer, this morning, this is what I feel the Lord is saying. Will you choose to enter in? Will you choose to lay down the things that are holding you back? To let go of things that your heart has desired? And trust him with those things. Will you make that choice to enter into his presence, to come into the Holy of Holies, to draw near, to enter into that dark cloud. Whether we understand it, whether you're ready to understand it or not, like who can know the mind of God? Who can understand who he is? If you're waiting this morning, I believe this was a word that God gave me during our worship time. If you're waiting until you understand everything with your mind, you're going to be waiting forever and you're never going to enter in. Because you will never understand God. You can never comprehend who he is. He says it requires that step of faith. Like Peter stepping out of that boat. That step of faith that says, I'm going to jump out of the plane, I'm going to step out of the boat, and I'm going to trust that God is good. And that when I step out in response to what God is saying into my heart, he's not going to drop me. He's going to catch me. And what he's going to do in my life is going to be good, because everything that comes from God is good. Everything that comes from God, every gift that is good comes from him. Everything that comes from him is good and is for your benefit and for his glory. As Paul talked about this idea that God's transforming work in him, that God had forgiven him and saved him and set him free for God's glory. And we can look at that and we can say, God, if you that the things that you're doing in my life, let it be for your glory. We got that choice this morning. As Kerry and Hannah sing this song, I want us to make a decision. I want to challenge you to make this decision between you and God. Say, I choose to enter in. I no longer want to hold back and be a spectator. I'm not content to kind of sit back on the sidelines and let somebody else hear from God for me anymore. I want to come into the presence of God, and I want to hear from God, and I want to know his voice, and I want to be called his child, and I want to be part of his family. I want to worship him. I want to kneel at his throne and just give him glory and give him honor. Give him reign in my life.